This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
No matter why your clients give, their donations can do so much more. With a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360, they can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or other non-cash assets like real estate and even crypto, while recommending grants at any time. DAF Giving 360 can offer you over 25 years of expertise, bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The Bengals will be playing starters this evening extensively. Cincinnati has become known for starting slower than every other team in the NFL despite being talented. And they vowed to their fan base going into camp this year to conduct themselves differently in August and to start faster. And they played their starters a ton in week one of the preseason. Burrow was 9-for-10. Ja'Marr Chase was working backup corners. And they're going to do the same thing tonight. They're going to take this game seriously. They're going to play at least a quarter, according to their coaching staff, led by their head man, Zach Taylor. But I want to get into the Commanders' running back situation, Danny, while we have a few minutes. David Pollack's going to join us to talk college football coming up at 3 o'clock. Make sure you listen for that conversation, because I know he's always very, very good. With this storyline this weekend that Brian Robinson's on the trade block, how do you handle Robinson tonight, I wonder? I had someone tell me, well, there's a good chance they won't play him because when this was someone from another team. When we're thinking about trading somebody, then we're not going to play him.
Mike Garofolo has this literally moments ago amid speculation about his future with the Commanders. Running back Brian Robinson will not play tonight against the Bengals, sources say. It's a mutual decision between Robinson and the team as a trade before the cut to the 53-man roster remains a possibility.
All right, so huge news. So I'm glad that you pointed that out.
Yep.
Okay. So this tells me a lot, actually. This is not in a place where he's going to be on the roster, likely. That's what I hear there.
That's the conclusion. I see that and I draw that same thing.
When you say mutual, that means the player doesn't want to play football tonight. Why doesn't Brian Robinson want to play football tonight? Because I don't want to risk an injury in an exhibition game for a team that doesn't want me. So this is in a place, like I had said a couple segments ago, where we talked about it. You said, oh, keep him around as a backup. If he's not a starter, I don't know how interested he is in being here, and I don't know how much they think it's worth having him around when Rodriguez or Felton can do some of that on the back end of the roster. Or, by the way, Jeremy McNichols, who was very impactful at times last year and right now may or not make the team if Robinson does. So I now move this into a whole different discussion. Brian Robinson either gets traded or is likely cut, in my opinion. I think if he was someone who would be on this team if he's not traded, we wouldn't hear that this is mutual. And I'm not dealing with certainty here. I'm just saying this is my takeaway from that breaking news from Mike Garofolo.
Yeah, right? I mean, it stands to reason. So as you're thinking about it, you go, what's the upside in playing tonight? It would be to put something on tape to earn your spot. To get your job back or whatever, right? To prove that you're better than the other guys. The mutual part of this isn't just the time I got dumped and I had to tell people it was mutual to save face. This was everybody's involved in this thing. In other words, hey, we'll give you a chance to win your job back or move up the depth chart. He said, nah, right? I mean, is that how you read that? I mean, that's what it is to me. That means he's not going to be on this team unless there's something, some variable that I don't quite understand, either by trade or by cut.
Well, look, the team could couch it in a different way, and I'm sure they will post-game. They're not playing Laremy Tunsil tonight because of how important he is. They're not playing Bobby Wagner and Zach Ertz because they're known veteran commodities, and they could sell that. But this is not that. If you're looking to trade Brian Robinson, a guy that we all feel like was in need of a season, make-it-break-it style, where he elevates his game to get paid to stay around here, where you kind of know what he is at this point, and it's not what they've been looking for, as evidenced by them drafting a running back and him being the talk of camp and fans being so excited and kind of wish-casting Kroski Merritt into a more significant role. They can suggest whatever they'd like to on the back end of this story coming out that, oh, well, you know, we know what B-Rob is. We want to look at the other guys. If it's mutual, that's the word to me in that report that's so significant from Garofalo. If the team just said they're not playing him, then fine, you know what he is. You don't need to see him. You're either going to trade him or you're going to protect him and he's not going to get hurt. But mutual means Robinson said, if you guys don't love me, I'm not putting my body on the line for you tonight in some way. Maybe he doesn't go to them first, but you're at least willing not to play as a bubble guy at this point. I think that tells you everything you need to know about where this is headed.
It does indeed. Man.
So change is what I was about to talk about with you, which is this running back room with or without him, but I think the conversation's still the same.
Yeah.
To reiterate, if Robinson's on the roster, he should be their first and second down back as far as I'm concerned, because otherwise, I don't know why you keep him. If Kroski Merritt supplants him and is the, I'll use air quotes here, you know, top guy with Eckler in the pass-catching role, then Robinson is no better than Chris Rodriguez in that short yardage capacity, and you're just keeping someone around who has been demoted and might be frustrated and salty about it. What's the point? Get younger, get cheaper. You can keep a Dimitri Felton on the practice squad.
We'll get GP back on here in a moment. I heard that little phase out there, so Darius, we'll work on that tech element of it. But to Grant's point, I mean, if this was a video game, it's obviously not, but if it was, you go, yeah, I have an accomplished player that I could just give a lesser role to. But, you know, it's about human beings. I would hope that, you know, for me, I would try to convince him to say, hey, there's still a role for you. I still need some goal line stuff. I need some short yardage stuff. But that's not realistic, right? If you've been a starter who's led the team in carries multiple times over, and now you're demoted to whatever you want to call it, a second string, third string, et cetera. I don't view running back necessarily the same way. I just don't want, I mean, this is where I start this. I don't want him to lead the team in carries. That means on a down-in, down-out basis, I can't do the, you got to feed Brian Robinson the rock. You most certainly do not. You don't need to do that at all. That also doesn't mean, though, that they've got somebody where I'm going to give featured carries to. I think they've got a few guys that would probably stand to be or could thrive in that 10 to 14 range on any given week, GP. And I think GP is back. I just don't see the you know, because there's no bell cow, there's no Derrick Henry, there's no, you know, superhuman Saquon Barkley type guy. There's nobody to me that warrants, I got to feature this guy 20 times, even if early downs he's getting stuffed, we're going to keep hammering him. I think that ship has sailed with Robinson.
Well, I like the room they've put together without him. I mean, they have done a really good job building this thing up because it looks like they hit on Kroski Merritt. So in the case of a seventh-round pick who they feel like is like a third- or fourth-round talent. Let's just say Kroski Merritt was a third-round pick. Because if he played the full season at Arizona, maybe he could have been. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
How much different is this conversation? It's not surprising at all. Robinson is a previous regime's third-rounder who's a singles hitter who has just not shown the ability to hit doubles. And let's add one more factor into this. We have not seen Deebo Samuel at practice, really. Certainly not in preseason games at all. Do anything as a running back, as a wide back, as they used to call it in San Francisco. He's almost exclusively played wide receiver. But of course he's going to carry the football as a back. Of course Cliff Kingsbury is going to do some of that Kyle Shanahan stuff with him. How many carries did B-Rob get in a given game? It was a lot of times, what, 14, 15 carries, something like that? And when he's in the game, you shout into a megaphone, this is not a passing situation to the running back. Like, that's Austin Eckler, right?
Uh-huh.
So you bring him in, it's like 13 for 60, 15 for 65, whatever it is. You're basically looking at 15 carries a game to divvy up. If a few of those go to Deebo, we're talking about, what, 10 or 12 carries for Merritt, or Rodriguez or both. I just think it's an unnecessary thing to keep him around if you've decided he's not that guy on first and second down. Not surprised by the news and the fact that he's not playing tonight and that it's mutual, I think is very, very telling.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAFGiving 360. You can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and your assets can potentially grow tax-free as you recommend when and where to give. It's a tax-smart way to maximize your charitable giving from a fund with over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together. Make a greater impact with DAFGiving 360. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Matter of fact, we got time. Why don't we do it right now? Give me a game ball, Darius. We'll do this after games. After... I'm getting a weird look. I don't know what's happening. Is everything okay over there? Okay, I'll take a game ball. You won't give me a game ball. Jalen Lane. Jalen Lane, the wide receiver from Virginia Tech, the rookie, had three targets, three catches, 42 yards in the game, and he caught two balls when he was outside, one ball in the slot. You could see his speed is a problem for DBs. When he lined up out wide, he got these massive cushions. He's a 4.34 40-yard dash guy. So he would turn it up, and he's, you know, they're sinking their hips and kind of running backwards with him, and then he would just break it off and route them up, and they couldn't really defend or cover. Also made a really nice contested catch on an out route on one of the better throws of the night on a tough night for Sam Hartman. I continue to be intrigued by Jalen Lane. He's got some things he's got to still polish and some areas of his game where he's got to keep getting better. Some, like, top of the route where you kind of are telegraphing that you're about to hit the brakes and hurt Sam Hartman trying to throw a ball, and a DB reads that and is able to jump a route. But very young, playing out of position to an extent because I think he's a slot receiver. But he flashes, man. Like, here we are talking in year two. Where's Luke McCaffrey? Where are the catches? Where are the targets? That's not Jalen Lane. Every time he plays, you notice him. It's loud. I really like his game.
Kick coverage. Fix it. I don't know what's going on. I don't quite understand why it looks like a soccer player taking a corner kick looking for a header the way that they're doing it. But these short line drive kicks that are leading to returns, that's two straight weeks. We open the game with a massive return against them. Touchdown saving tackle. Whatever's happening right now, immediately to the lab. Start looking at that film and adjust your technique, adjust the concepts. I don't know. I'm hoping they're trying to evaluate something. And they're giving guys a chance to put them in adverse situations, and the regular season plan will be completely different. But I am nervous about a special teams blunder sort of upending what might be a good start to the season.
Josh Johnson is the third quarterback, and Sam Hartman is not. I think that needs to be the way that this goes. Hartman struggled again, sprayed the ball all over the place with accuracy against the Patriots last night. It just doesn't look quite right. Johnson operates the offense way more effectively. He made a bad decision, throw, read, whatever, on an interception. Lane maybe could have helped him a little bit at the end of that play, but regardless, it's not going to be perfect. Nobody's asking that from a backup quarterback. But you could just tell the difference when Johnson's in there versus when Hartman's in there. So I would say gasser to Sam Hartman for a second time in as many games.
Super quick one. Drive kept alive. Frankie Louvu jumped off sides. It looked like they were trying to do that, and you fell for it. Not a fan.
Quan Martin, fast, violent, athletic at safety. I thought the safety position in general could get some game balls. Will Harris had a play on the goal line.
That was what I was about to do, yep.
Had a PBU, really tight coverage. He's had a good camp. Martin, to me, looks like he's ready to be a legit, above average, like top half the league safety.
Going through all that traffic at the goal line to stop the, it was Hudson or whoever the tight end was.
Yeah, Hudson at the 1 yard line.
What a great play that was.
Sick.
Unbelievable.
He made another really nice play in the game as well where he came up and had a run fit. And then Jeremy Reeves is one of the faster, more physical players on the team. Percy Butler's got speed. I just like what they're building at safety. Give me one more game ball.
Javon Kinlaw. Not a ton of snaps. You didn't see much, but you did see a couple bothering, throw the blocker around like a rag doll and make a tackle. I think he had two tackles on the game, but looked the part. That's kind of what we were hoping for, right? Was this guy that they saw something in that a couple teams before them hadn't seen? That dude looked like a monster in the middle.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
No matter why your clients give, a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360 makes charitable giving simple and efficient. They can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and their assets can potentially grow tax-free as they recommend when and where to give. DAF Giving 360 has over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Saturday, Terry McLaurin was taken off the PUP list. We have wondered since then, was this a mutual decision and McLaurin is actually ready and has acknowledged to the team that he plans on ramping up to practice so that he's ready for week one, and that's why they took him off PUP? Or was this the team flexing their muscle and using the leverage at their disposal, clearing him physically, saying you are able to perform, you're not unable to anymore, taking him off PUP, and basically putting the ball in his court to do whatever he wants now? You can practice or not, but it's going to become apparent to everybody this is now solely about the contract because we're not playing along with the injury anymore. I think we got our answer yesterday when Terry McLaurin was not at the game. Now, I'll provide one caveat before we dive into this, Danny, and that is that Sam Cosmi, who is not in a contract dispute, who is not at odds with the club, who is also on the PUP list, although Terry is not technically anymore, was supposedly not at the game last night either and also was excused to not be there. And if you're dealing with an injury, and in his case, a leg injury, you know, going up and down to the press box and all the other stuff that you got to do on a game night when you're not playing in the preseason, maybe it's just worthwhile to tell him to stay away. I think we all agree that's not really why Terry McLaurin wasn't there last night, probably. So what came out as we got closer to kickoff was that they excused him and that his absence was not him choosing not to show up against their will, so to speak, but rather that they gave him permission to not come.
Which, if that wasn't the case, then they would fine him.
I think you would have to fine him substantially.
It's now, almost $900,000.
Well, that's if you, yes, the $811,000 fine is for players who are holding out and miss a game. There's this weird gray area I'm still waiting to hear back from the league on, and maybe I'm diving too deep into the specifics and semantics and people don't care. But basically, by him now being there and not holding out, whether it was PUP or not, they're able to fine him at their own discretion, but it doesn't necessarily have to be to the same extent of the law, the same money, as if he was holding out. And I'm still waiting on some clarifications from the league. But the bottom line is, they would have been able to take money out of his pocket because you refused to come to work if they didn't excuse him last night,
right,
which they did.
Right, and I think it becomes more adversarial. So I understand from the team's perspective, it's over these years, remember some of these weird petty feuds that Bruce Allen or Dan Snyder would get in with players, Trent Williams is the best example, where it's, what's the upside? What do you want to have happen? Would you like the player to play for you or not? If not, you can win the argument. Congrats, you won the face-off, and now he's traded for way less than market value. So that's my view of what the team did. Again, more information could come out, and I could be wrong. I will say this. I had Terry McLaurin categorized in the way that a lot of fans have. For so many years, there have been a lot of really positive deposits in the bank for McLaurin. A lot of equity built up with the fans, with this organization, with his teammates, etc. Last night was a major withdrawal. Last night is a selfish, petulant, spoiled brat temper tantrum act that, frankly, is beneath him. I can't believe he would ask to do that. I understand the team's perspective of granting him permission if that's how you want to do it. That's how you want to play this. Because there's no upside in saying no, and now there's more of a feud, and you've made it worse, right? It's already inflammatory.
Yeah, why escalate this fight bigger?
I cannot believe that a person of his ilk would ever deign to do something like that. I can't believe it. Trey Hendrickson, who called his coach a liar, is on the sideline, guffawing and knee-slapping with his teammates and brothers. I mean, we need to play the Ja'Marr Chase audio for talking about how valuable that is. Micah Parsons has said he'll never play for the Cowboys again and hates everybody's guts right there on the sideline. That's what you do. The contract that you are obligated to fulfill says you're part of the team. This selfish dance is absurd. I understand it's not going well for you for your future deal. I have sympathy for that. I understand that. A lot of the players do too. Last night was this season. You bailed. You quit on people. To me, there's no workaround. The idea that this isn't the biggest story and the first thing on everybody's lips was absurd to me. I feel like I'm standing alone on an island shaking my fist at the ocean. People are going, well, what do you think the prospects are for trading B-Rob? And what'd you see from Jalen Lane last night? You know what's really interesting was the John Bates, Ben Sinnott snap count. Wrong. Your golden child skipped the game. He skipped it. He skipped. He bailed on his team because he's mad about his contract. That is unbelievable to me. Again, it's still positive for Terry McLaurin, his net, right? Over the years, he's done so much and been so good.
Yeah, 500 deposits and, you know, dozens of withdrawals here over the last few weeks. But this is not one withdrawal. This is a withdrawal of a lot of money.
This, to me, is major. So I am taking him out of, you got to pay Terry because he's a great guy. That's not what great guys do. That act is beneath him. Overall, again, wonderful experiences with Terry McLaurin. He was great with us on the show. When he came on years ago, really good production, really good player. I want him here, and I want him playing football. That act to not go to the game last night, to me, is astounding. Like, it is a jaw-dropping decision from an otherwise team guy.
So, to go as hard as you are going, I would need more information, just for my own comfort. And what I mean by that is, I just don't know what I don't know. Do I assume that because he is in a contract standoff, he decided he was not going to be at the game? Yes, that is my assumption. That is what I think happened. And if that is the case, then I don't think a single word you just said is problematic or too far or excessive. I think that's all reasonable. I look at the other sideline and Trey Hendrickson, as you said, and I see a guy who has had more drama and where it's been more personal and where he has more strife with the staff and with the front office and is actually currently B-Rob style in the middle of trade-seeking time. I mean, this week they announced they're open for business. If you want Trey Hendrickson, call us. That's not what the Commanders are doing. They're saying the opposite. In fact, they're saying nothing, but they're telling people behind the scenes privately, we're not trading this player. He's on our team. He's one of us. One of us.
One of us.
He's here. And still, he's not actually here. He's not at the game. So I just thought it was a really, really bad look as Trey Hendrickson's dapping up fourth team players at his position and hugging the, you know, random dude trying to make the team at defensive end after a big play and running down the sideline to high five, you know, the guy that makes the great catch, Mitchell Tinsley or whatever. Meanwhile, Terry McLaurin's chilling in One Loudon or at his house. Or
Von
whatever.
Miller's been here for an hour and a half. You're damn right he was there. Celebrating, you know, plays behind the line of scrimmage, celebrating defensive ends, celebrating guys on you know, making plays here, there, and everywhere. Zach Ertz.
It was disrespectful. And here's what I find so annoying about it, maybe. Again, I'm not going as hard as you. I need a little more intel. I've got my line in the ground at right around the 25th. That's when I'll cut my 10-minute Terry McLaurin Pro Bowl. It'll be loud and people will want to hear it. But I'm giving him a little more time until I think it's, you know, hit the wall time. You've hit it a little further than, or sooner than I did. But I got my brotherhood bell around here somewhere, right? There it is. Over there.
I'll pass it to you. Hold on. I'll ring it first.
Yeah, there you go.
Now we'll pass it to each other.
So every time they talk about the brotherhood, I ding the bell. And last year, this is what the show sounded like.
Is there a train coming?
I mean, it's just bell, brother. And Terry McLaurin is Mr. Brotherhood. He's
Derek
Mr.
Bell.
I mean, he said brotherhood more than anybody not named Dan Quinn. You got to be at the game, man. That's not that big of an ask. Get your ass on the sideline to hang out with your teammates and watch a football game. That's the ask there. It's kicking it with your buddies. No one, you came down to the Burgundy and Gold scrimmage in your hoodie, and you watched that. You were compelled enough, interested enough to do that. I think this was his rebuttal, his response to being taken off PUP.
I do too.
So they go, all right, you're off PUP. And he goes, all right, I'm not coming to the game. And they play along and say that it's, you know, a excused absence. The reason I stop short of what you're doing, though, is I would just hate to find out, like, he's at his grandma's funeral or like something like that. And we just don't know. Now, I don't think that's the case. I was there last night. I was in the press box. I was in the locker room. I talked to a lot of people, not only that cover the team, but with the team. Nobody brought that up with the team. They all made it very clear, like, yeah, this is not good. This is kind of where we're at right now. And so this is what happened, by all accounts. By the way, you mentioned Trey Hendrickson being on the sideline. Ja'Marr Chase was interviewed.
Yes.
Monday Night Football, ESPN, Lisa Salters, I believe, on the interview. Was Laura Rutledge?
Laura Rutledge, yeah.
On the Bengals sideline. And this was what Chase had to say about Hendrickson being there for his teammates.
I seen everything from Trey, man. He's always on it. He comes in on time. He does what he's supposed to do. He's at meetings. You know, he's in the team meetings too. So he's still being a leader at the end of the day, and that's what you want from a guy like him. And, you know, I did it, and then he's doing it. So it's like, you know, we both talking to each other throughout the process. So, you know, as long as I make sure he's level-headed like he did with me, then we'll be okay.
Yeah, what have you said to him?
Just making sure you stay focused, man. Don't forget what's the reason. Like, don't forget your why at the end of the day. And that's all I want to let him know is keep pushing himself, and he's going to be great.
I'm looking at the 106.7 The Fan YouTube chat, and Tay says, if Terry was there on the sidelines, every reporter would have been in his face. Well, a couple of things. Number one, that's not true because the reporters aren't on the sidelines during the game. The worst thing that could have happened is that he would have been asked to do a sideline interview by Lisa Salters.
Yeah, and PR can control that. The answer is no. We're not doing that.
Right, and they would say no and not allow it. Or if Terry really wanted to do it, he could go rogue and do the interview, and so what? So for 2 minutes, he's talking on the sideline while the rest of his teammates aren't over there paying attention. He could have come and gone without doing interviews. We don't get to grab players before the game. We have to get them in the locker room and nowhere else basically after the game. So there would have been no access needed for Terry McLaurin to go to the game. And he could have done, by the way, what he's done at practice. Since the first few days of practice, when he came out and signed autographs and we kind of walked him back to the facility, it became obvious after he was willing to talk for a couple days, guys, I don't really have anything to say. Nobody's chasing him around the facility anymore. He just kind of comes and goes and does his thing quietly. So it really would not have been a distraction in any way. But he made the choice last night to not be at the game. And that was jarring to me. I want to open up the phones on whether or not you guys are surprised by that and how this escalates or elevates things at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. My takeaway from McLaurin not being there, Danny, was I've got my answer. On Saturday when they took him off the PUP list, I thought maybe there's been a little bit of a come-to-Jesus moment or conversation between he and Peters or whoever, Buddy Baker and Adam or Dan Quinn,
mm-hmm.
where they decided, you know what? We're not going to be happy about this, any of us. This is not going to go well. I want you to know that I'm still mad. But week one, we got to beat the Giants. Let's figure this thing out together on the practice field. And by him not showing up, I now don't expect him to practice in the next couple of days. I don't expect him to really be ramping it up all that significantly. And anything he's doing, he's clearly going to be doing begrudgingly. But if they want it to end, they got to play hardball. You can't excuse it. You can't not fine him. Like, he's not acting like a guy that you need to take the back of, basically. So you got to meet him and probably start throwing your weight around a little bit if you're Adam Peters.
Yeah, they know better than I do how many days or practices he needs. So there's a point of no return where that's going to happen. But yeah, I'm with you. I don't expect him to practice tomorrow. I mean, what I saw with the PUP removal designation was, this is the team going, okay, we've played along with this stupid ankle game for weeks now. We're not doing this charade anymore. The season starts. You're under contract. You're a big part of this thing. We need you. And I see since then, one of the last couple of levers that Terry and his camp are going to pull. I think the next thing that you're going to see is either a leak out from the agent or from Terry himself about how he's going to threaten to not play in week one, or I'm willing to sit out games or whatever. So to me, I've lost my patience. Last, not being there at the game, the idea that someone would ask that, I cannot fathom it. There's a reason Bobby Wagner, Von Miller, and everybody in between that's gone through this and that doesn't need this exercise at all is there with their teammates. To not be there is astounding. And I'll tell you this, if tomorrow it comes out that Scott McLuhan style, he actually was mourning somebody right. in his family and whatever, I will apologize and take sure. it all back, and he's at practice. That ain't happening. What's happening is a tantrum from an otherwise great guy that has done an awful lot for us and this team. You're now in the way, dude. You're now an obstacle. You are now working against everybody else. Everybody's sprinting towards the season. You're standing there with your arms folded going, no. Like, it's time to leave. We're going. A football season is happening. Last night was the dress rehearsal. So you weren't going to play. I knew that. Because when you're activated, that's not what this is about, dude. Like, I'm sorry your contract thing ain't great. There's a lot of guys that are probably a little bit disgruntled with their contract and their deals. Contract season now. I mean, right now, dude. I cannot believe it.
Laramie Tunsil's underpaid right now.
Yeah.
Going into a contract year. Frankie Louvu's going into the final year of a deal and wants more money, I'm sure. He outkicked his coverage last year. Yeah, he's not alone in that. I have been very much attempting to see both sides of this and to acknowledge what Terry's going through as a player, what the team is going through and trying to keep his number down because of his age. And I hope people feel like we've done a good job at representing both sides as often as we can. But the patience that I have with him, and I get the sense that a lot of fans have with him, as we get closer to the start of the season, is drying up. And a lot of the goodwill, the good thing for him is there was plenty of it.
There was a ton.
But it is.
And deserved.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, this is one of the all-time teammates, one of the all-time workers, one of my favorite players I've ever covered. Just date a person's daughter kind of guy, right? And that's still the case. I think this is just business. I'm not going to go where you went, where you go like, oh, well, this is not what a good guy does. This is just handling your business in a way that I think is poor and being a diva wide receiver. I don't know if Stephon Diggs is a terrible guy or A.J. Brown's a terrible guy. I don't like how they handle themselves as professionals a lot of the time. Having said that, I get the sense that fans are starting to grow weary of this act as well. Now, I'm just getting real-time feedback here in the chat on the 106.7 The Fan YouTube page and tweets at Grant H. Paulson. And there are very much still Team Terry people that are, you guys are making him the bad guy. You're painting him to be some evil person or whatever. And I think a lot of people, understandably, you love football, you love this team, you love that player. You might never be able to cross where you go, hey, this is pretty ridiculous. This is about his future contract. He's already signed a deal for this year. He's made $40-some million the last couple years from this team. And he's screwing over their chances to be the best team possible with every single day that this charade goes on. A lot of people are just not going to get there because they love the player and they want him paid, and that's the only thing they'll hear. But I don't think that's the majority. And days like yesterday are going to make that more and more the minority.
Agreed. Yeah, again, I am hopefully everyone understands the distinction I'm trying to make here. That act is not the act of a good dude. I still think he's a good dude, by the way. Like, again, too many data points, too many good things in the bank. That was not a good decision. That's how one of the diva, self-centered jerks, frankly, acts. That's very, as you said, Stephon Diggs. That's very not off-field crime Tyreek Hill, but that's very temper tantrum Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, quitting on people. Pain in the butt, wide receiver who's a me guy,
yeah,
about himself, not the team. By the way, Dan Quinn was not asked about this post-game. So I was in the press conference, tried to ask him about it. We had a one mic situation that was a bit of a shebingus. Just couldn't get to ask the question. But I want to know what the head coach would have said. Maybe we'll find this out tomorrow at this point. But why was it excused, I guess, would be my first question. Like, why wasn't he there? Let's start with that. And then why did you guys decide to excuse it? You could have fined him. Why did you choose not to do that? But I don't know how you can take yesterday's no-show as anything other than he's not playing nice with being taken off the PUP list. That's my takeaway.
Yeah, 100%. And this is, again, there are only a few levers left to press. My big salient point throughout all this, while I empathize and sympathize and even root for players to get what they can get in this cruel and frankly awful at times business without guaranteed money in this high injury rate sport, I get it. My immovable object at the end is the CBA and the way the rules are set up do not favor players in these face-offs. They favor teams when you are under contract already. And the team is going to win in pretty much every regard. The only way to win is to cut off your nose to spite your face, see Le'Veon Bell. That's the only way for you to get what you want or whatever you want to call it, and it's going to derail your career. That's always at the back end of this. So the team is ultimately going to have all the leverage unless you want that changed, get to call your agent and call the CBA, et cetera. Or call the players union, rather, to fix the CBA. So that's always kind of been at the end. I'm sorry you lost. Grow up. You know what I mean? Like there's too much good. There's too positive of an atmosphere, of an environment, of what's been created here for you to be in the way of that this year for your own personal stuff.
And I think there are people, and I'm in this camp too, that maybe would have a little bit more empathy to the situation if this was his rookie contract he's coming off of, mm-hmm, and he hasn't been paid yet.
Especially as a third rounder where he's, you know, dramatically underpaid.
He's been paid $56 million so far in his career. $56 million. Now, that means nothing as a standalone number. Like, you get what you're worth. What does the market say you're worth? But it's not like he didn't make $24 million last year. It's not like he's not about to pocket $15.5 million in cash. You know, for the people that are saying, oh, you know, this is just the shut up and go catch the football conversation. No, 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 no. Shut up and go catch the football and make your $15.5 million. You know what I mean? Make your 25.5 cap number that you signed up for. This was the deal that you signed. Now, you, if you want to restructure, great. We've had months to try to work on that. Haven't been able to figure it out just yet. But you owe the Commanders a season. And last night, while the team was playing, the Brotherhood was together. You chose not to be with the Brotherhood.
Morris, Wall, Beal, and Gortat. Porter can't find anybody. He gives it to Wall. Working against Bradley for three. John Wall! What a shot! And the Washington Wizards will live for Game 7.
That's John Wall hitting a shot and jumping up on the scorer's table. That's as good as it gets, forcing a Game 7 against the Boston Celtics. Screw you, Kellen Olynyk. The Kelly Olynyk game would soon follow.
Yes, it would. Yes, it would.
That was as good as things have gotten around these parts as far as hoops, and John Wall was a big reason why. That year, he finished top seven in the MVP chase, and John Wall that year averaged about 24 points and 11 assists. You go back and you look at those numbers, how does he finish third-team All-NBA?
Just a different time, man. Russell Westbrook averaging a triple-double was the MVP. It was the era of the super team, but Wall was unbelievable that season.
Let's go to the Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. We bring on to the show, it's been a long time, our guy Chris Miller. He is the play-by-play voice of your Washington Wizards on Monumental Sports. About that time again, Chris, to start seeing you on the call in the Wizards on the hardwood this fall.
Looking forward to it, Grant and Danny. It's been a while. Great to hear your voice. Just enjoying the last couple of weeks before we tee it up and roll that ball out again. But just hearing Mark Jones's call on what I think is the biggest shot ever in that building, it just brings back a lot of memories. And yesterday was kind of just a, I don't know, man. It was like I was happy for John, but I was also sad just to think about all the years we had with him and all the memories. And now he's going to turn around and be an analyst and call games. And man, I'm getting old. You know, you just think about it. He was 19 years old. He had peach fuzz on his face. There was a red carpet. Now he's a father of two, and he's a basketball analyst. It's like, where did the time go?
It is incredible. You were the first guy we thought of today, though, because you were kind of right there for his entire career on the sideline and in multiple roles, obviously now calling the games. But before we even get to the on-the-floor element of this, which everybody saw, there was a real legit love for him in this city and connection between him and D.C. that I've only ever seen really at its apex with Gilbert Arenas, and that was short-lived. But how would you chronicle that for maybe either younger fans or new Wizards fans, like at his peak, what Wall meant to D.C. and vice versa?
Well, he was the genuine article of the realest athlete I have covered in almost 30 years of being in this business. What you saw with him is what you got. When he gave you a quote, he was thoughtful and he meant it. And it might not have come all across as smooth as many people thought. You know, he was country, he talked fast, all of this stuff. But being a fellow North Carolinian, I understood him. I understood him the very first day I met him. And that realness is, I think, the reason why he was kind of the Pied Piper for our city. Not just leaving it on the floor every night, but he was just genuine. He was as real as it gets.
Chris, what did he not get enough credit for? In your mind, I mean, the point guard has sort of evolved into just another shooter out there, basically, at this stage of the game. But he was right. Old school in that way, where it's running the offense, a blur with the basketball in his hands, et cetera. But, I mean, you were there courtside and seeming to practice and everything else. What did he not get enough credit for as a player?
Danny, I don't think people realize he played hurt almost his entire career. Now, the last 5 or 6 years, everyone knows how it ended. But really, he dealt with bone spurs. He injured his hand. We know about the 5 non-displaced fractures in his hand during the playoffs. He played hurt. I remember one time He had this bone spur in his foot, and he had surgery on it. And he texted me the photo of what the bone spur looked like when the doctor removed it. And I just remember just looking at that and going, there's no way I could articulate it to fans to understand what he was playing through. He played hurt a lot. And Grant, you talked about the numbers he had in his best season, which was 16-17. But throughout his entire time in D.C., to do that and not to complain, you know, he talked to the media every day. You know, win or loss, he was always in his locker. And I think that's where the appreciation for John Wall really came from a media standpoint, is that guy never ducked when something bad happened to either him or the team. He was front-facing that way, and it was I appreciated that because, as you guys know, there are some athletes that duck when bad things happen, but they'll be front and center when something good happens. John was never that way. He always talked.
Let's talk John Wall, the player. Chris Miller of Monumental Sports is with us. On the floor, I mentioned the best year statistically, and he finished seventh in the MVP hunt, third-team All-NBA All-Star in that 16-17 season. I mean, he was a star of stars, too. Like, there was a time where he's in dunk contests, and he made five straight All-Star teams. We don't have guys around here do that in my lifetime, but you take me back to kind of early and then at his apex, like how we got there and what kind of player he turned into.
Well, he couldn't shoot, and he would tell you that when he first got into the league. I mean, he was just a blur with the basketball in his hand. He was the fastest in the league, and I'm comparing him to, at that point, the Derrick Rose of the world, the Russell Westbrooks. John Wall, to me, I thought was faster than both of them. And I grew up, I remember watching a lot of small point guards. I never saw anybody as fast as John Wall, and he was about 6'3", 6'4", about 195 pounds doing that. So in the beginning of his career, he was just a blur, and he evolved every year. I thought he got better with that jump shot, but his vision, the pick and roll with Gortat, I thought was one of the best pick and rolls in NBA history behind Stockton and Malone. That might sound like hyperbole, but when you see it every night and you know teams were scouting it every night and they could not stop it, that was a large part about John being able to run that offense. And again, I talked about being hurt, playing hurt. All of that kind of is in the mix when you're trying to talk about John Wall. It's like, how is he able to do all this stuff every night? And he played, Grant and Danny, in my opinion, the golden age of point guards. He would tell you, he would look at the schedule and be like, damn, I got Chris Paul tonight. I got Westbrook two nights from now. I got a back-to-back. I got to see Kyrie. I mean, the list went on and on. And he was right there in the mix when you were talking about who were the best point guards during that golden era.
In terms of, again, kind of on court, it's always so hard when, you know, your teammates may not be able to run with you and you kind of have to adapt to different styles. I mean, think of the different coaches where Randy Whitman, you know, loved defense more than I love carbohydrates, Chris, you know, just different coaching styles and different things like that. How hard was it for folks to kind of catch up, right? Because if you got someone that fast, let's play fast, but it wasn't always that way. I'd love for you to kind of go into that, some of those relationships and you know, maybe how tough it was for teammates to play with a guy that skilled and that quick.
All right, well, I won't name any names, but, you know, I would be at practice sometimes, and I would see some of these bigs, and I'm like, there's no way in hell they can run with John. How are they going to be able to run with him? But it just worked. He made it work. And I thought Gortat was great for him in the half court. I thought Nene. I thought when the Wizards acquired Gortat and Nene, that allow John and Brad to elevate their games. Remember, they were young. They were babies. That first playoff series in Chicago, they beat the Bulls in five. I think that was a byproduct of having two tough bigs down there that could really be physical and allow John and Brad to kind of grow their game. And Brad was the perfect piece for John to have a two guard that could come off, you know, action where you set a screen and Brad comes off a screen and shoots threes. And they were just perfect for each other. I just think that they were too young. We just needed we needed another guy. And John and I have talked about this over the years, and I know a lot of people would talk about, like, Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant was never going to come here. But the guy that I thought, if we could have got this player, I don't know what we would be talking about today, and it was Paul George. Paul George at that time was a really good player, an all-league player, and they've all said it. There was talk of Paul George coming to D.C., and if that would have happened, I don't know what the narrative would have been like, but I think this team could have competed for Eastern Conference Finals appearances not once but twice. But going back to your question about the bigs, they had to figure it out because John wasn't going to slow down. You guys know that watching it. He was never going to slow down. He was going to go from 0 to 100 in like 5 seconds, and it was your job to get in condition and to run with him because the fruits of his speed got a lot of guys paid on this team, as you guys know.
Chris Miller is with us. John Wall announcing yesterday officially that he'll be retiring. We're reminiscing about his career. You went into some of what he dealt with physically. He basically played like half seasons in his final 2 years on the floor here. Then he missed 19-20, did play in Houston, missed another season, then played minimally with the Clippers. But going back to the end as far as health, what do you remember about some of what he was going through to get his body ready to play?
You know, the double knee surgery was before the 16-17 year, which was his best year, right? But, you know, even after that, the Achilles tear, and it just, his body just broke down. He just played in a way where you would want him to kind of slow down, but then you're taking away his superpower. It was kind of like watching a bigger version of Allen Iverson. We all love Bubba Chuck, the way he played, no fear, always played hurt. John's favorite player growing up was Allen Iverson, and you could see that kind of toughness in that position that John would play through anything. And I think it just cost him his career, to be real honest with you guys, just the way he played and fighting through a lot of stuff. I think at the end of the day, if he could go back, I don't even know if he would ever change the way he played, but I think now he kind of understands I could have elongated my career if maybe I could have slowed down a little bit or not take that fall. Because you guys remember how many times you see John get to the rack and he would fall and you'd be like, oh, no, is this the one? And he would jump right up, right? I think those are the things that he kind of thinks about today as he's going into the second act of being an analyst. And that's the part I'm really excited about, is to hear him kind of talk about the game today compared to when he was playing.
Yeah, because again, Chris, I think the answer – that I have for the question I asked you before about what did not get enough credit for, how great of a basketball mind he was. Just, you know, school point guard, seeing things, the way he saw the floor, just he had that savant level understanding of things. And a lot of times those guys make the best analysts, like the catcher makes the best manager for baseball. And I'm looking forward to that next chapter for him, for a guy that wasn't always, as you said, gregarious or outgoing with every member of the media, but I think he'll be really, really good at it.
You know what's funny, Danny? I'll share this story with you guys. I can't even tell you how many times I interviewed him, but there was this one time I was doing an interview at his house, and I walked into the living room, and there's 4 big TVs that are attached to each other. I mean, you talk about picture in picture. This thing was the craziest thing I ever saw. But there were games on there. There was a women's basketball game. There was an NBA game, 2 NBA games, and there was a college men's basketball game going on. And he's sitting on his couch, and, you know, we're getting the camera set up and the lighting and all this stuff. And he's talking to me, but he's not looking at me. He's looking at these monitors, and it was all basketball. And that was the first time where I was like, this dude is a savant. I was like, this is crazy how he's watching all these games. And like now he's going to be, it's going to be like Christmas for him now, where he's just sitting in these studios and he's just talking about basketball, but he's been doing this. I don't think a lot of people realize how smart he is and just how he sees the game of basketball. It was kind of on just another level, and he can talk to you about any kind of basketball, boys and girls, AAU, college basketball, NBA, WNBA. He knows all of it, and he's just always been kind of a student of the game. That's the exciting part of seeing, like, now what he'll do now with a camera now in front of him with him wearing a suit.
Chris, before we let you go, be remiss if we didn't look ahead. We're closing in on the fall here. I'm thrilled about the Trey Johnson pick. They got a guard who can score it. And what are some of the things you're interested in as far as this young team as they get to camp and start working out some of the roster decisions they have to make?
Grant, allowing these young kids to blossom. It's another year. You know, I'm sitting here at home, but I'm watching what's happening overseas with this Euro Cup that's getting ready to happen. And I really like what I'm seeing from Bilal Coulibaly. I'm really excited about Alex Saar. They're playing well over there. They're getting those international reps. And that's the part where when you're tearing it down like this and you're starting to build with these young kids, you're going to watch them grow in real time. And the last couple of years, I've just been honored to watch it every night. I don't take no nights off, guys, every play. And you can see where some of these kids are getting better. And one of the real positives I saw this summer in Las Vegas was a kid like Keyshawn George, who I don't know if a lot of Wizards fans knew who he was when he got drafted, but they know who he is now, and he's gotten a little taller. He was really good in Vegas, and you're starting to see, okay, what role can he play on this team, okay? We saw Trey Johnson excite us in Vegas with his ability to shoot. Bilal Coulibaly is a really good defender. Bud Carrington played every game, one of 11 guys in the entire NBA last season that played every game. And for the way Bub ended the season, hitting the game-winning shot last game of the year in Miami, dealing with all the stuff off the floor he had to deal with, the passing of his father, mental toughness, those are the things that I kind of get excited about. And that's what I'm looking forward to seeing coming, you know, after Labor Day, is what's the next step these kids are going to take.
Chris, great to catch up with you, buddy. Appreciate you joining us.
Always good talking to you guys. Have a great week.
See you, buddy.
Be good. There's Chris Miller, Monumental Sports. He'll be on the call of Wizards basketball again when they get going this fall. Let's go to the Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV, and welcome onto the show Michael Jannetty of SpotTrack, who had, I thought, a very on-brand and kind of compelling case he made today on the Terry McLaurin front. Put together a contract that would work potentially for both sides. It seems like, you know, it's right where this thing's going to end, and he's got all the details on how it would look. Michael, thanks for joining us on The Fan. How are you?
My pleasure. Thanks for having me. Good.
You got it. So the deal you came up with here was 3 years and $82.5 million, which was a little over 27 per. So how did you get there, and why does that feel like a potential landing spot for the exercise?
Yeah, so that's actually his mathematical value within our structure. So the 27.5 has sort of been the number that we've been bouncing around internally here with him for a while. And, you know, I know that counteracts with the $30 million plus that other wide receivers around his age have been getting, and certainly what he's been saying out loud. But that's sort of where fair market value says he should be. And I think this late in the game with the team basically putting their foot down this long, that's going to be the going rate, right? It's not going to be an overextension at this point in time. It's going to be all or nothing in terms of that fair market value price.
So, Michael, my sense has been, and you could tell me if you think I'm off base here, that I think the team would probably go for that. I don't know that Terry McLaurin and his agent would, just kind of given their eye line. Give me your thoughts there.
Yeah, that's exactly why I published this today, right, is there's only probably one version of this that the team itself would say yes to right now, and that is fair market value. So, to go above and beyond that would be a cave from the team's perspective, and they just don't need to do that because, you know, unlike some of these other holdout situations, there's a world where, enough people internally probably think near $20 million for McLaurin this year is a good number from a cash perspective. And then next year is obviously up in the air. But, yeah, that's the fair market price is exactly where the team's going to be. And we've seen that a couple times now with contending teams, a couple of Buffalo extensions, certainly some things that have happened in Kansas City over the past couple of months. You're just not going to get too much past that point when you're within a system that is vying for a Super Bowl right now.
So what's baked into your number? And the reason I ask that is the argument the team and the agent have had, and the reason for this impasse, is the team is saying age, 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 age. And the agent is going years, years, years. Like,
He's going, I don't care if he's about to be 30. He's going into year seven. And guys get paid going into year seven. And the team's going, well, year 30, you know, age 30 is what matters here. So I'm wondering, like, how do you bake that and bring it out at that number? And how do those things factor in?
Yeah, there's a few factors. Obviously, age is one of them. And certainly the age itself, when factored mathematically, is drawing this number downward. Just naturally, and because that's the going rate, right? When wide receivers hit this mark, it's just an actual fact. There's data to it that we plug in behind it that says that the number will be going down at this point in time, unless you're a 1A tier one unicorn, which mathematically Terry McLaurin is not, unfortunately. So, and the other side of this is just raw data, raw stats, analytics, some premium stuff that comes in from the backside. And he's doing very well in that regard, obviously. Otherwise, this would be closer to $20-21 million, which is where Cortland Sutton recently landed in Denver, which I know is a contract that the McLaurin camp is pushing away from quite a bit here. So he does have some distance in that regard in terms of statistical production, but there's no question that the second you hit 30 at this position, the mathematical value of your worth is going to come down.
Michael Jannetty, SpotTrack. You can check him out on social. Great insight on contracts. And anytime a big deal in sports is signed, he's one of the first accounts I go to. Danny asked you a little bit more on the side of, you know, what the team had offered. What the player had wanted and how far off that is. I want to go to what the team had offered. $27.5 million and the difference between that and what we've been told reportedly is they want to be down closer to 24, 25, and they may have even started lower than that. What about that side of it? Do you think that was where they should have begun the negotiation?
Well, the contract I put out today, yes, is 27.5 per year, and it's a 4-year contract, right, a 3-year extension. But from a guarantee perspective, it's 2 years, $50 million. So I've got it right at that $25 million per year mark over the next 2 years, and then basically everything after that is completely up for grabs in terms of the guarantees and the ability to get out of it. So I think these numbers themselves kind of hit all notes, which is his actual value within our algorithm and what the team has been saying out loud they're willing to do. And it just comes down to his player and his agent and his camp willing to accept essentially a 2-year contract, knowing that after that it's going to be pretty hard from an open market standpoint to cash in again.
Michael Jannetty, SpotTrack, with us here on Grant and Danny, breaking down a potential Terry McLaurin deal. Michael, go into this for me, and forgive my ignorance. You've forgotten more about this stuff this morning than I'll ever know. But to me, the thing I care about, not necessarily the cash for the player, I don't want to be in anyone's pockets, I care about cap hit for the team, right? So if somebody gets a bunch of cash and it doesn't affect the salary cap, that's great for me. To me, it's all about building the team and the roster. Why the structure that you have does that cap hit jump in year 3 and year 4 without kind of what looks to me like an easy off-ramp there if it's really about the 2 years, $50 million guaranteed? Does that make sense?
Yeah, so what I've done here is I've added two big bonuses, a signing bonus this year and then a signing bonus next year as an option bonus, and that allows things to be spread out and pushed down the line, right? This is the essentially building in the contract restructure in front like teams like Philadelphia and some others do. So I'm doing that perspectively right now because I know this team is looking to build aggressively every offseason. They've done so this past. They're going to do it again next March. So you temper the current cap hits. You deal with the larger cap hits later. And like I said, after 2026, this contract that I projected here is basically thrown out the window from Washington's perspective. So it's about dealing with both cap friendliness today and cash in hand for the player right now today. And everything else is basically just we'll see when we get there.
Essentially, they could tag him next year at 29, and then he's under contract this year. Would they be saving money, 2 and 50 or whatever that accounts to on this deal from that? The reason I ask is, if they're not, would they even be willing to do this?
It's a great question. It's a great point. I think that franchise tag next year is going to be pretty high. I really do. I really think the mathematics, when it's all said and done with these top five salaries, is going to be upwards of, you know, mid-30s. So, when you put the math with his 19 and change this year with that 30, you're approaching, right, the $50 million that we're projecting here. So, again, I had that in perspective here when I put the numbers together. And you want that to be as close as possible because you want to be able to poo-poo any of the arguments that the agent's going to make. And that will be a big one, especially with, you probably want this player around for not just this year but also next year, knowing that you have the value on Jaden Daniels for the next two seasons.
So, Michael, again, forgive my ignorance. I've seen that projected cap, franchise tag number rather, in the high, you know, 28, 29 million for next year. Why the difference? Why will it be much higher than has previously been thought?
Well, two things. We're going to have a couple more extensions here, which I think will factor in before the cutoff date actually gets here. And then, of course, wherever the salary cap jumps next year, and that'll trickle down. So if the salary cap comes in higher than we think next year for 2026, and I do think it could be upwards of $300 million, maybe even over $300 million, you'll see those numbers really significantly go for these premium positions, which, by all accords, the wide receiver has become over the past five offseasons here with ridiculous amount of signings.
SpotTrack's Michael Jannetty giving us some numbers on Terry McLaurin. So what is the recourse for him? I mean, everything points to him not really having leverage, the team holding all the cards. You're looking at this from a very statistical, numerical, unbiased perspective, and you're going 27.5 is about as good as he's going to do. What are we missing? How is this going to end any other way?
He's going to have to cave, right? And unfortunately, you know, I try to put this on both sides as much as possible, but I really do think that team has most of the leverage here heading down to the wire as we're, you know, about a week away here from this all coming together. He's going to have to come down basically to this point, which is I'm willing to be here for 2 years. I want to be here for 2 years, fully guaranteed. And that $25 million per year in terms of the guaranteed average is going to get it done for me. If he's not willing to do that, if his camp is not willing to compromise in that regard, like I said, I think you agree with me, I believe the team thinks he will step on the field with his current contract and play out that contract, and we'll see where we get to next February and March. So it's one of those situations that I wouldn't say with the other holdouts exists, where the team has so much leverage. This is one of those where I swing towards the Washington Commanders pretty heavily.
So that's interesting. I mean, there are a couple things on that, Michael. We're in a different era now where, you know, the agent, whoever the agent is, will text Adam Schefter. You know, and it's like, the contract was negotiated by Steve Smith or whatever, and now we're, like, supposed to care about that and all the different things because everybody wants to spike the football. Where would their spike the football be in that deal that you're talking about where it makes it seem like all this was worth it? You know what I'm saying? Like, every agent's got to do that. They've got to show that we won this thing somehow, even though I wouldn't view that as a win objectively. Where would their ability to do that be in this deal in your mind?
That's a phenomenal question. And with NFL contracts specifically, there are ways to do this, right? Because there's so much, I don't know, fluff, right? Broadcasting, marketing built into these things. Mm-hmm. The way to do it is if you look at my contract and you look at the bottom two salaries, which already you mentioned the cap if they're bloated, there's some bloatedness there, is you add to that, right? And maybe you even add an extra year to this thing and make it a four-year extension, and you allow yourself to pump in some really, really bloated salaries down the line, which in turn gets that average salary, that APY, over $30 million. And then you're able to go back and put out to the Schefters of the world and say, look, we got Terry McLaurin $30 million a year when, you know, anybody who looks at this stuff with a closer magnifying glass understands that the two years guaranteed is really all that matters here. So that's generally what you're going to see happen is you're going to see a bunch of funny stuff added to the back end of this thing to make the marketable numbers sound better. But there's just no way that a team like Washington can give in too much with the next two seasons, knowing how important it's going to be from a contention standpoint.
Michael Jannetty of SpotTrack with us. Last thing for me, and I know you deal specifically with the contracts part of it, but the fines element of this is interesting to me. And I don't know how that works in with your side of it, but when he was holding out, it's pretty easy. It's $50,000 a day. Every day he doesn't show up. It's $811,000 for every game he misses, preseason, regular season. It gets a lot more murky with a hold-in, especially with him being on PUP, because now the team has the ability to not fine him, and it's based on conduct detrimental and whatever else. But what's your thought on if he really even has a possibility of missing any game time, or if that would – is there even a path for the agent to say that somehow that could help him with his leverage to miss games?
It gets really, really funny once the season starts, right? Because at some point in time, the team can actually run the test and put the data out there that says that this is he's healthy enough to be playing and he's just refusing to play. And the second that becomes a thing, now you're talking about a breach of contract, right? And it gets really ugly and really nasty. And generally, sides don't want to get to that point. But I think we're headed in that direction with Trey Hendrickson in Cincinnati, without a doubt. And, you know, it's not an accident that we're hearing so many singular reports from Washington stating that, you know, Terry McLaurin is simply in a conditioning position right now, and he's starting to ramp up, and he's getting very close. And those words are happening because of what we're talking about here, which is they believe he will be active, healthy, and ready week one. And if that's not the case, they don't plan on, you know, losing out on their end of the bargain here. So I have a feeling if he believes he can hold out or hold in without any ramifications, the team may be thinking otherwise here.
Michael, not hyperbolic. I literally use your website every single day. Thank you for that. Thank you for this great work, and appreciate you joining us, man. Thanks.
Appreciate you guys. Thank you.
It's Michael Jannetty of SpotTrack with us on Grant and Danny. Really good insight on Terry McLaurin.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Donor-advised funds from DAF Giving 360. Your clients can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or appreciated assets like real estate. It's a simple, tax-smart way to give. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org/advisors.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.